seconds.
The greatest weather prophet who ever lived made the highest ascent into the heavens of any human being. Hundreds of years ago, he shattered the record of every modern space astronaut. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Say, we're going to continue today the tremendous subject that was introduced on our last broadcast about Elijah the prophet. There's a text in the Bible that so many people misunderstand. They've often asked about it. What does it mean? The text is Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, many people have wondered, what does this mean? Is Elijah the prophet going to return to the world before Christ comes again? Is he going to come back in person with his flowing robes and his long white beard? Are we actually going to see him standing before multitudes of people preaching in the last days? Well, we want to talk about Elijah today, friends, and his return to this world. Now, in our last broadcast, we dealt with that great encounter of Elijah with the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. With great courage, Elijah went up there to meet the 850 men who were fed at Jezebel's table. You remember this man had predicted by the word of God that there would be no dew or rain for 3.5 years. He is the world's greatest weather prophet, undoubtedly, and there was no moisture for that time either. At the end of the period, Elijah went with Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, and they met on top of Mount Carmel. And there Elijah challenged the people to serve the God of heaven. He said, if Baal is God, serve him. But if the God of heaven is a true God, then serve him. So they built altars there, and the God who answered with fire was to be the God, the true God of Israel. And so we read that God answered Elijah's prayer and came to consume the sacrifice on the altar. And then the prophets of Baal who fed at Jezebel's table were destroyed. After this experience, of course, there was no longer any drought. Elijah prayed for rain, and the rain came. Then Elijah ran into the city before the king, and exhausted, he fell at the gate and dropped into a sleep. Early the next morning, a messenger came running. Somebody opened the city gates and came out and shook Elijah awake and said, Elijah, Jezebel's angry with you, and she says she's going to take your head. And there, friends, after that tremendous demonstration of courage, Elijah, in a moment of discouragement, began to run from Jezebel as fast as he could. Now, why is it, friends, that this happened? Why should a man do this in the wake of his greatest accomplishment and his greatest victory? Why he does it, I don't know, but out in the desert he goes and falls down under a juniper tree and says, Lord, please take away my life. Let me ask you this question, friends. Was Elijah a perfect man? No, indeed, he was not. But now, friends, he had a perfect message. He bore the message that God wanted at that hour, and God didn't let his prophet down. He said, oh, no, Elijah, we can't have this. How would the newspapers look? How would the people feel if they looked in the newspapers tomorrow morning? Prophet of the Lord found in the desert, suicide suspected. Well, it would have gone against his message, and so God took care of Elijah. We read in the Bible that a little later, Elijah was translated. Those heavenly chariots swung low down there by the River Jordan and picked Elijah up. He was taken up to heaven, translated without ever seeing death, a type of those who in the last days will bear God's last message to the world and will also be translated without seeing death when Jesus comes. Elijah, the greatest weather prophet, made the highest ascent that's ever been made by any man, long before the age of the astronauts. Well, friends, I think John the Baptist was also another fearless preacher of righteousness. John the Baptist was the kind of man who didn't look in the offering plate before he preached. He presented the truth. He preached it straight. He preached it clear, no matter what men thought. One day a delegation of ministers came out to see him. And they ask, say, what denomination do you belong to? It seems that's the way it goes, you know, today. Every time a series of meetings is conducted, some preachers begin to throw up some ecclesiastical dust to cloud the issue and obscure the truth. And so they came to John back there, and they said, and you'll find this record in John 1:19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now John the Baptist pointed right back to that prophecy made so many hundreds of years before, and he said, I'm coming in fulfillment of that message. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. You see, John, when he came preaching, bore the credentials of heaven. His message was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. John came bearing the Elijah message for his day. I want to read that for you now in Mark 9:11-13. They are questioning Jesus, and they ask him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say to you that Elijah is indeed come, and they've done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. Now, friends, mark this down. When Jesus said in his day, Elijah is already come, who was he referring to? Why, he was talking about John the Baptist, of course. I read again from Matthew 11:10. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And then verse 14, And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come. Now, friends, Jesus is referring to the message that John the Baptist preached. And he says, If you will receive it, this is Elijah. If you will receive what? If you will receive it. He's talking not about the man, but about a message. He's speaking and referring to the Elijah message. John the Baptist, as he came before the world, preached, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and be prepared to meet Jesus. You see, he called people to step out and follow all the way. There was no halfway service in the preaching of John. He told people they must break from sin. They must turn from it. They must stop their law-breaking, must stop following tradition and the man-made things of worship. John the Baptist indicated that a person could not serve God 90% and expect to go into the kingdom of God. If a person wants to meet Jesus, he'll have to turn to God with all his heart and be willing to go all the way with him. You remember the young man who came running to Jesus one day? Christ preached the whole message to him in just a few words that day. The young man said, Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus began to enumerate the commandments. And the boy said, I've done those things ever since I was a boy. Mother was a church member. She taught me all the memory verses. I've done everything from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said to that boy, One thing thou lackest. Only one? Is that all? Well, that's pretty good, Lord. Oh, listen, the thing that this young man failed to realize is that just one thing would keep him out of heaven. A person has to commit his life to the Lord Jesus and be willing to follow him in everything. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Jesus said. The last words of Jesus refer to this same thing. Christ said, I'll tell you what I want you to preach. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. Now what did Jesus tell them they were to teach? Some of the things he had taught them, part of the things he had said, and 90% of them? Absolutely not. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And yet, in spite of the clear injunction and command, the exclusive command of Jesus, many men do not dare to preach at all today. Why not? Because people don't like to hear the whole truth. Therefore, in order to please the people, they refrain from giving God's last day warning message to the world. I want you to notice, friends, that the Bible says before Jesus is to come again, Elijah is to return, as in the case of John the Baptist. Jesus made it clear that it's not the man, it's the message that calls people to repent and turn to God with all their hearts. In order to fulfill the Elijah message, there must be a people in the last days calling on men to go all the way with God, to keep all the commandments, to keep all the things whatsoever Jesus commanded. Part way, my friends, is not enough. This last call goes forth calling people to go all the way. It's the last step in the Reformation, if you please. The truth was pure when Jesus gave it. That was a faith that was once delivered to the saints. But according to prophecy, there came a great falling away of stair steps down into the dark ages. And then God began to shine His light there in the midst of the dark ages. There was Martin Luther and others who followed him, bringing back step by step those forgotten, neglected truths. Back until finally we come to the last step of the Reformation. And that message is being sounded today, friends. It's the last call of God. It says, Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:1-4. And yet, people linger. I've had some people tell me, well, I've been listening to what you preach. I believe it's founded on the Word of God. I find no argument with it. I believe it's a truth, all right, but you see, I can't give up some of the things I have. I can't give up my job. I can't give up some of my friends. I can't give up my church. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep it in my heart. I'll live it in my heart. But I can't change over right now and change my whole way of life. Listen, friends. For Jesus and His blessed truth, we should be willing to make any changes or adjustments. We can't say, I'll just live it in my heart, but I won't live it in any other way. That kind of excuse would never stand on Mount Carmel back in the days of Elijah. It would never stand in the days when John the Baptist stood out before the world and proclaimed his message, calling them to go all the way. It will not stand before the judgment bar of God today either, friends. There are others who say, well, I don't think it makes too much difference. After all, if there's a little variation here, a little difference there, Sunday or Saturday, what difference does it make? What day you keep? It's just two 24-hour days. Baptism by immersion, baptism by sprinkling. It's only a little different, just a little variation. It doesn't matter. Oh, friends, I tell you, it does matter. That kind of excuse would never stand on Mount Carmel. The great question that faces each of us today is, who is on the Lord's side? This is God's call for our time. Each person must answer the question. Each person must choose whose side he'll be on. A line of demarcation is being drawn between truth and error. We dare not linger between the two. Only those who have the courage to stand with Elijah on the side of truth will go through to God's kingdom. Now is a time for decision. How long halt ye between two decisions? Well, our time is gone today, friends, and we must close our broadcast. But I hope you will write and ask for this special series that we've been presenting during the last 2 days. If you'll just write and ask for broadcast number 461, we'll be happy to share it with you. Our mailing address is Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, zip code 21701. That address again, Amazing Facts, Box 680, Frederick, Maryland, zip code 21701. And ask for folder G also when you write. But be sure to ask for the material presented today, broadcast number 461. Also give the call letters of the station when you write. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.